Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on May 8th, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, that's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show, or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully and looking forward to the warmer weather coming back. And, hey,
we're so spoiled.
We are, as regards to the rest of the country, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
And, we get one overcast day, and it's like, what's happening? The world is ending.
It was so chilly. It was down in the 60s.
Oh, cut it out.
And of course, it's election season is coming
That's
up.
That's right. That's right. Gearing up. Very close. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I love this series. It really is a great time to have a good conversation with our local officials and those running for office. And look forward to it very much. Who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Tom Brewer. Tom is a sitting council member for the City of Torrance and a mayoral candidate in the upcoming June 3rd election. He currently serves as chair of the City Council Citizen Development and Enrichment Committee and as a member of the following City Council committees: Community Planning and Design, Transportation, the 2014 Ad Hoc Federal Legislative Advocacy, and the Ad Hoc SoCal ROC. We'll have to find out what that means. Tom is a voting delegate and the president-elect to the Independent Cities Association. In addition, he serves as the delegate to the South Bay Cities Council of Governments and the alternate voting delegate to the Southern California Association of Governments. He previously served on the Civil Service Commission and the Environmental Quality Commission. Tom served for many years on the Southwood Riviera Homeowners Association Board of Directors and was president for 9 years. He also served on the Torrance Education Foundation Board of Directors, where he was president for 2 years and secretary for 6 years. Tom also served on the board of the Southern California branch of the American Society of Microbiology, where he was president for 2 terms. Tom has lived in Torrance for 60 years and works as a laboratory scientist at UCLA Medical Center. And as I said, he's running for the mayor of Torrance this June 3rd. So everybody has to remember to get out and vote. Welcome to the program, Tom. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful. It's wonderful for you to join us, Tom. We love doing these shows because it's very personal. When you talk to someone on the radio, I think the listeners feel that they have eavesdropped on a very intimate discussion, a personal discussion, and that's what we love, because we think that people want to get closer to their government officials. They want to understand them more and understand the issues more, you know, and it's really exciting for us. So, you know, one of the ways that I like to start is by giving you an opportunity to really state the case for what's going on in Torrance now and what you'd like to see changed in the future. So let's get right into it. What is going on in the city of Torrance today?
Well, thank you. You know, one of the things I think that's really exciting about our city right now is the Del Amo Mall is being completely rebuilt. If you remember the mall from previous years, it looked old, it looked tired, it was out of date. Although it was one of the largest malls in the country, and one of the busiest malls in the country, it just wasn't a 21st century mall anymore. And so we're very fortunate that Simon Corporation has come in and wants to completely rebuild the mall, make it completely new. And I'm excited about that. They project that the mall is going to open just before the holidays of 2015, which will be good for us. You know, it gives us a chance to bring in some sales tax revenue. And I think at the same time, one of the exciting parts of that is it offers a chance for the city to leverage that to help rejuvenate our city and bring in some more business to the city of Torrance.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's very big, and of course, it's some place that just about everyone in the South Bay has frequented the mall, the Del Amo Mall, many times, and perhaps many times a week.
I was just over there this weekend.
Okay, yeah.
I was in Macy's.
Yeah. What do you think?
Did you see the big hole in the ground? Oh, did you see the big hole in the ground where the mall used to be?
I know. You know, Tom, it's so funny. Several weeks ago, well, maybe a couple of months ago, but I went over to Lucille's, which is over in right there, and I pulled into the parking lot and I parked. And when I got in the car and I looked up, I went, "Where'd the mall go?" I mean, I knew that they were going to be renovating it, but I just, you know, it shocked me that whole structure is gone. Big changes. I can't wait to see it.
Wow.
Well, it's going to be really nice. If you look at the food court that's there now, it gives you some idea what the mall is going to look like in totality. It's going to be very fresh, open, very light. We have some new anchor stores coming in as well. It's going to be one of the premier malls in the country when they're finished, and we're excited. You know, so many people in our South Bay are heading down to South Coast Plaza now to shop. And I think once that the mall's redone, those people are going to come back to Del Amo and spend their money in Torrance.
Hmm. That's very important. And also, how do you, Tom, convince, I'm sure there were lots of discussions, how do you convince a mall management to invest those sums of money to retrofit a mall when people are coming, people are shopping, there must be an inertia. Why do we need to spend money? We're making money already. There must be quite an inertia there. What pushed the Simon Corporation off the dime on that?
You know, that's a great question, because even before the mall was being rebuilt, it's the second busiest mall for foot traffic in the country. So you have a lot of people going through the mall. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're buying goods there, but they're going through the mall. So when you look at that, the fact that there are a lot of people there walking through the mall, plus the fact that the city of Torrance is really the hub of the South Bay. If you look at where Torrance is located compared to the beach cities and the hill cities, everybody has to drive through Torrance. And for the most part, they're driving down Hawthorne Boulevard. So not only do you have the traffic in the mall, but you have traffic going by the mall. So all they needed to do was, you know, rebuild the mall, and they'll make more money than they've made before. They're putting hundreds of millions of dollars into the mall because they know that when they do that, it's going to generate more money for the stores that are there, more money for Simon Corporation, and certainly more money for the city of Torrance. So it took a study that the city of Torrance did. We commissioned a study saying, these are some of the things you ought to consider. We presented it to Simon Corporation, and they realized that this was a good place to put their money. It was a great place to invest, and it had a great opportunity to rebuild the mall and make it a vital part of our city once again like it used to be.
So in fact, though, there was money had to be spent, a study had to be done, the city council decided that this was a good investment because they, Simon Corporation, had not completely committed to the idea of doing a mall, but you, the city council, decided that, hey, we think that there is a reason that you want to renovate, and let's get some numbers and some facts, and that pushed them over the edge.
That's right. You know, one of the things that Simon Corporation did was they bought a portfolio of malls throughout the country, and they really had never really drilled through those to see what malls they had, and we really didn't want to wait for them to do that. We wanted to be ahead of the game, show them that this is a mall that deserves your attention, it deserves your top attention, and once we did the study and convinced them that this is someplace they should be, they fell into line with us, they came on board, and they started to recruit new businesses and decided to rebuild the mall. I mean, they're rebuilding this from the ground up, as Jackie saw.
Wow.
And I have to make a confession.
What?
You know, on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, when me and my husband or me and a girlfriend want to go out and walk around and shop, I've been known to go up to Century City Plaza or South Coast Plaza. Don't throw me out of the South Bay.
No.
Don't throw me out just because I've done that.
Get to stay a while.
Yes, I get it. Yeah. So I'm just saying, he's right. People will go elsewhere when it's the experience, you know, Americana at Brand or the Grove or, you know, so this is much needed.
Right. And they waited. I mean, there are lots of renovated malls in the LA, Southern California, and they waited until they got to see some of the best examples that we've already mentioned. And now they're going to get to take advantage of that and really, really focus on what people want to see, how people want things arranged. It's a great opportunity for Simon Corporation. Kudos to them. So now...
You're right about that. We actually have gone through a lot of iterations of malls over the last 10 years, and we're very fortunate that they've been able to wait and look at what works and what hasn't worked, and now we're going to get the best of all those malls in the Del Amo Mall.
Right.
And Nordstrom, and possibly
some other stores as well.
Uh-oh.
That's
some
exciting
surprises. Okay. So this is. I just want to ask because it's very interesting. What can you tell us, Tom, about your work at UCLA?
Well, I've been at UCLA for almost 38 years. I'm a microbiologist at UCLA. I work in the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center, and I work in the clinical laboratory. I do research here at UCLA on ways to detect diseases, ways to find some diseases, ways to find organisms that are actually causing diseases. So I've been very fortunate to be here so long and see things change, see the technology that we have in the laboratory now change compared to when I started. I'm very fortunate. It's a great place to work. In my field, you can read the books and see all these things in books, but I'm very fortunate that almost everything that's in the book I've been able to see during my career at UCLA. I actually work on diseases that are caused by mold, diseases that are caused by parasites, and diseases that are caused by bacteria. So a wide variety of things that can affect humans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we have a guest for George.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Have you had the opportunity to see the movie Transcendence?
No, I haven't. I've been so busy, I haven't seen that movie.
There is a microbiology component to the movie, and it's very interesting, I thought. We hear about, the future medical advances with nanotechnology and so forth, being able to swallow a pill and basically have little nanobites go through your body and clean out your arteries and things like that. But these are some of the advances or science fiction that they've been talking about in the movie, and I just was wondering if you had any connection with that, because it's very exciting what's going on in medical science today, and you have a long career, so you've seen a lot of changes. with technology. Today, in the broader context of governing a city, what do you see coming down the pike, Tom, for the future of Torrance, for the future of city governance? What are some of the things that excite you about the future of Torrance?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've learned in my medical career is that you always have to be looking for new technology. You can't be stagnant. In my career, if I'm not staying current with the newest innovations, you become irrelevant. And I think that's one of the things that, as a city, we need to look to as well. You know, we always look at the ways, you know, maybe some of the older ways to do things, but there's so much new technology coming, you know, for law enforcement, for fire suppression, and I think instead of having a knee-jerk reaction to we need more police on the street, we need more firefighters or something, I think one of the things we can look at is some new technology to augment what we already have. I mean, we have a stellar police department. We have a Class 1 fire department. But I think looking at technology today that's coming out with some of the equipment that we have and some of the equipment that you could put in, I'm excited for what I think we can do as a city to augment what we have to make our city as safe as it can be. And I think as some of the things that we do in the city as far as, you know, the computer systems that we have, there's so much we can do with a computer. We can do online reservations through our theater groups. We can do a better website. I think, you know, embracing the technology that's coming, I think, would be a great thing. And I'm excited for the fact that we can have, you know, some of this stuff brought into the city and help us.
Right, right. Now, I would be remiss, Tom, if I didn't ask you the big question. Starts with a T, ends with an A. Tell me. this is the way I'd love to introduce this question. Tell me what you knew and when you knew it, and what do you think the fallout will be in general of Toyota moving their operations to Texas?
Well, first, let me say that you know, having Toyota and Honda as well in our city, it was really a source of pride for our city. When I travel around and I tell people that Torrance has the national sales headquarters for both Honda and Toyota, I mean, they're amazed. That's something that's really special. So I think that the short-term effects right now are going to be something, you know, that the sense of pride that we had might be, you know, a little bit bruised. I've lived in the city, as you said, for 60 years. I've seen a lot of things come and go. I've seen a lot of things leave. And people go, oh, my gosh, the world's going to come to an end. And every time something has left, something better replaces it. If people remember a White Friend store that used to be on Torrance Boulevard in Hawthorne, when that closed, we were devastated. But now we have Bye Bye Baby there. We have the Sports Authority there. We have the Marriott Hotel there. The Daily Breeze building is there. So we replaced it with a whole lot better stuff.
And don't forget,
you know,
Penzies.
Oh, absolutely.
Penzies,
right.
Spices. My wife loves that store.
Yeah, that's right. That's a big. That's, you know, it's a small store, but it's, I think it's a national sales, a national company too, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, I think it
and
is.
So, you know, we've been very fortunate that Torrance has so much to offer. As we talked about earlier, you know, people drive through Torrance to get places. So it's the hub of the South Bay. It's close to the airport. It's close to freeways. So there's a draw here. Not only that, we have a very educated workforce here. We have the greatest schools in the Southern California, I think, which produce great kids for employment. And so we have a lot to offer. As bad as it's going to hurt to have Toyota leave, I think things will come out better than they were before. Now, as far as when I knew, you know, when I initially got on the city council, we went back to Tokyo to talk to Toyota and Honda both, just to see if things were okay, to see if there's anything that we could do to help them. As a city, you know, we don't have a lot of money. Our budget right now is about $160 million. So to offer much would really take a big chunk out of our budget. So it would be tough for us to offer them anything to stay. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Toyota leaving, I mean, it does make sense for them to go closer to where the production of their vehicles are. It makes sense to go to a place where they can build a brand new campus. They have a different tax structure there. I'm not sure there was much the state of California or, at the very least, Torrance could have done to kept them there. We really didn't find out about it until the weekend before when rumors started circulating at different events that we were at that Toyota was going to make some a big announcement on Monday. The inkling was that Toyota was going to leave. We had an inkling they were going to phase it out over about 3 years. So, and that came true on Monday when they had their news conference and announced it. So it was something that we didn't know about. And, you know, to say that if we had found out about it a month or two ago, we could have done something. Toyota was probably having these talks about 6 months ago. So I'm not sure even 2 months ago we could have done much to keep them. And frankly, I'm not sure we could have done much to keep them even if we'd known 6 months ago.
Right. And there was some talk also that, well, they as a private corporation, they have a responsibility to their shareholders to ensure that they get the best prices for land and so forth. So the pre-announcement was just not an option for them. They needed to consider, to decide, then to execute, get the best prices for whatever land they're buying, and then to announce. But I want to ask you about the question that you raised a bit. I mean, Rick Perry is not bashful about the fact that he's targeting California corporations because he says that you know that they are vulnerable, and he's targeting them specifically to bring jobs and industry to Texas, and this is a big win for him. It cost him some money. Some people say $40 million Texas is paying to attract Toyota with tax breaks and other subsidies. It's not cash in a suitcase or anything like that. But, I mean, and
who knows?
But Rick Perry is doing this with the full, you know, in the full light of day, and he's doing it for the good of his people and the good of his state. So can California compete in a marketplace where governors like Rick Perry are aggressively, publicly saying we're coming after your industries?
Well, not only is he saying it, he's put commercials on television, too, if you've seen those. So, I mean,
he's not
very out there.
Yeah.
No, he's not. You know, when you look at the structure in California, we have the highest sales tax in the country. We have the highest income tax. There are a lot of obstacles to keeping businesses here, and I think this is something that the California legislature and the governor should be discussing because it's a blow to California. I mean, this Toyota move, even though it happened almost 2 weeks ago, it's still reverberating around. You still see it in all the newspapers nationally. This is a big deal. This was an ego boost for Texas for sure. And it certainly hurts California. If you look at it on the national news, it highlights the fact that California has problems. And I think, I hope, it's a wake-up call to Sacramento to look at how things are going and look at changing some of the things that are happening in our city, in our state. It affects the cities like Torrance. You know, as I said earlier, I think things will work out well for the city of Torrance, but I think statewide it's something that people really do need to be concerned about. You know, Toyota moved their plant up in Fremont. They closed that. And, you know, this is something we have to be concerned about. We would much rather keep the businesses here than bring new businesses in to replace them. You have a relationship with Honda. You have a relationship with Toyota. And it's a whole lot easier to deal with that when you have those relationships you build up over the years. So I would much rather keep businesses here than try to bring somebody back in, you know.
Of course, of course. Well, we're having a great discussion, ladies and gentlemen, with Tom Brewer. He's running for mayor. He's already on the city council in Torrance. And we're talking about just what's going on in the city, the malls and Toyota and everything. If you'd like to call in, ladies and gentlemen, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. 5288. And we'd love to have your comment or question for Tom, and we're going to continue the discussion. What other things are on the agenda now? It's so wonderful that is it true that all of the candidates for mayor are sitting city council members? Is that true?
Yes, that's true. Bill and I have been on the city council for 8 years, and Pat's been on the city council for 6 years.
Okay, well, that makes it very, very good, because you all know each other. You all have vast experience in the governance of the city, because you're sitting on the city council. So that makes it easier. Tell us a little bit about why we should vote for Tom Brewer versus another candidate.
Well, this is a unique election in our city's history. We really have never had three viable candidates running for mayor at the same time. It's usually been just two candidates. So it was very simply that you got the majority of votes, you were the mayor, and obviously the majority of the city was behind you. In this election, this is unique because we have three candidates, and so the possibility exists in our system in Torrance where all you got to do is get the most votes and you win, that the winner could actually have a third of the votes plus one. And that means, theoretically, that two-thirds of the city may not agree with your view. And to be effective, you have to have the city behind you. You're going to be in office for at least 4 years, and if you don't have the city behind your back, it's going to be very tough to get things done in our city. So I'm the only one, I think, that talks about that. And I think I have the best demeanor and best plan to bring the city together after the election's over. I want to reach out to all the homeowners associations, have meetings with the different constituents around the city to talk to them and see how we're going to bring this group together so we can all work for the betterment of Torrance. I'm very approachable. I think that my personality lends well to having people talk to me. One of the things I joke about is that when I go shopping at the grocery store, it takes me an extra hour to get out of the grocery store because so many people come up and talk to me about issues in the city. And they know that when they talk to me, I'll listen and I'll try and deal with whatever they want to bring up. It's funny because my wife and I, we used to go shopping together when I first got into the city council, but she soon realized that she was going to be there for a long time hearing stuff in the supermarket. So it's just me to go shopping now. But I think that's one of the things that really is unique for me. The other thing I think is I've lived in Torrance longer than anybody else has, so I've seen Torrance grow into the city that it is today, and I've seen what went well and how it went well, and I've seen some of the things that haven't gone as well and what we've done to deal with that. So I have a legacy here that we'll do well as the mayor of the city of Torrance.
Excellent, excellent. And also, we're going to take a break shortly, but after the break, Tom, I'd like to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the things that matter to you most. In the notes that I was given, you referred to a speech that you gave in 2006 and how that informed and sort of energizes your campaign today in 2014, and I want you to talk a little bit about that. And we'll be back in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take a break and thank a sponsor. Jackie, who do we want to thank?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it. whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, you can visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011. Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong, navigating you to financial success.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is that the latest one?
That's their logo.
Their motto, yes.
I like that. Navigating you to financial success, yes.
Yeah, that's a good
Their one. Logo is a compass.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, yes.
Very good. Well, Tom, you know, one of the things that you talk about, and I'll have to tell you that I'm from Chicago, and whenever I hear unions and politics, it reminds me of my hometown. tell us a little bit about that. I mean, you talk about a speech that you gave in 2006. So set the stage for us. Why is that important in 2014?
Well, when I ran in 2006 for the seat that I have right now, there was a city council that was in place at the time, and there was a lot of feeling that there was too much special interest entering into the decisions that the city council was making at that time. And the unions were big in that election as well. They had been nicely rewarded for the election for 2002, and they wanted to keep the administration in place that was there. So the unions were putting a lot of money into that election in 2006. And Mayor Scotto and I ran on bringing some responsibility back to the city council, bringing respect back to the city council, and restoring the trust that people had in the city. And, you know, Mayor Scotto and I were elected. When I was elected in 2006, I beat three incumbents. And that doesn't happen very often in our city. Usually the sitting incumbents get reelected. And I think, you know, one of the reasons our city council has been so successful over the last 8 years is because the citizens of Torrance respected what we were doing, and they trusted that we had their best interests at heart, and they knew that we didn't have special interest entering into the decisions that we were making on the city council. And I thought it was ironic because I was reading those speeches as I was getting ready to give another speech, and I realized that, you know, once again, the unions are going to put a lot of money into the election in the city of Torrance. The Police Officers Association has $170,000 in their account to drop into this election. There are political action committees that have been formed that people are putting money into. So once again, you know, we're looking at what could have happened in 2006, where special interests once again are entering into city council decisions. And I'm concerned with the pension issue that we have coming up that the reason the unions are getting so involved is because they want to put up a fight for reforming pensions in the city of Torrance.
Let's talk about the pension situation. You know, Joe, have you seen these numbers? I mean, it's scary. It's scary what debt cities have now. It's not just Torrance.
No, it's not. But it are we correct to say that 15% of the general fund goes to pensions?
Right now, the pension obligation is 12% of our budget. But by 2020, it's going to go up to 18% of the budget, which means, you know, things are going to change. I mean, people are seeing already that we aren't paving the streets like we used to, that the city is looking a little bit older than it used to. That's with 12% of our budget going toward pensions. By 2020, when it goes up to 18%, think of the changes we're going to have to make to accommodate that. We have to do something to change that. We have to reform the pensions in the city of Torrance, as well as all the cities. This isn't just a Torrance issue.
Right. It's not just a local issue. State governments are dealing with the same issue, and of course, the federal government as well. You call it unfunded liabilities.
They don't pay into their own pensions, right? Is that correct?
Well, we actually have three levels of pensions in the city of Torrance, but the legacy employees, the ones that have been there for a long time, don't pay anything toward their pensions. You're right. Some of the newer folks pay some money into their pensions, but the legacy ones do not. And I think that needs to change if we're going to get some type of responsibility back in our city. This pension thing exploded because they changed the accounting principles, and that's why, you know, we went so long without realizing what was going on. It wasn't until CalPERS started looking at, you know, how much money they had to project to pay for pensions that they started realizing that there was a problem. And it's not just CalPERS, it's the teachers' pension, it's all of them. But it's because they had to start looking at unfunded liabilities. And last year, at the beginning of the year of 2013, our unfunded liability was about $100 million. Toward the end of the year, in the beginning of this year, it was about $220 million. And then CalPERS did some new adjustments. And on February 25th of this year, we found out that our unfunded liability was $392 million. So it changed dramatically as CalPERS was looking at different things.
Okay.
Well, you know something? Everybody else has to pay into their pensions. Why shouldn't, you know, the union shouldn't be exempt from that, right?
And that's what I've been running on, and I've said that all along from the beginning of the campaign that we need to change this. You know, we did negotiate some contracts last year, but when we were in the middle of those negotiations, the unfunded liability was nothing like it was when we found out about it on February 25th. When we started negotiations with some of our unions last year, we had a plan to pay for it last year, but as things progressed and went from $100 million to $220 million to $392 million, things changed dramatically, and we'd already signed the contracts for some of our units last year. So if we had known then what we know now, I'm not sure we would have done the same thing.
Look at me, Joe, getting all political.
Yeah. Well,
I'm making a statement. I'm always telling you how unbiased we should be.
It's yeah.
But I feel very strongly about this.
It's
I really
personal.
Do.
It's personal. You live in Torrance.
Yeah.
And do you, Jackie? Let me ask you, Jackie, just straight out. Do you feel or get a sense that there's less money being spent on the public good in terms of streets and things like that in Torrance?
You know something, the only place that I see that could need a real repaving job is Palos Verdes Boulevard as you're heading up to PV, down to PV. That's the bumpiest street. But no, overall, I'm very happy with city services.
Right.
You know, we do have a great police force and a great fire department, and no, I don't see any, you know, huge gaping sinkholes in the city or anything.
Right.
But you know, as far as the pension thing goes, you know, you make a nice salary while you're working for the city. It's not my responsibility to pay for your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I look at it. I'm paying for my own pension. Everybody else can pay for their own pensions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's
all I'm going to say on that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that most people expect. You know, when I've gone out walking around and talking to people, they feel the same way that Jackie does, that, you know, if they have a pension, they've paid toward it. I have a pension at UCLA, and I've always paid toward mine as well. So I think most people expect that. And I think, you know, when it comes time to talk about pension reform, I think the citizens of Torrance will be behind that.
Right. Well, this is an exciting discussion. We're talking with Tom Brewer, candidate for mayor in the city of Torrance, also a sitting city council member in the city of Torrance, and having a freewheeling discussion on all things Torrance. So, Tom, you know, we're going to take a break in a few moments to talk about what's coming up in the South Bay, but I wanted to give you a few minutes before the break to tell us, you know, just directly, why should we vote for Tom Brewer? I know I asked that at the beginning, but now in the light of all the discussions and so forth, why would you say, just once again, people should vote for Tom Brewer for mayor?
Well, thank you. I think one of the things that really sets me apart from the other candidates running for mayor is I'm the only one that's talked about pension reform from the very beginning of the campaign. It's something that we need to do. Is something that if we don't do, it's going to really cut into the services that we have. By 2020, things are going to change dramatically. We can certainly look at bringing new revenue into the city, but I'd like to see that new revenue that comes in from the mall and from anything else that comes from the mall, that we use that to restore some of the services that we've cut over the years. We certainly need to look at repairing our infrastructure. I think that's probably the thing that concerns people the most. but they don't realize how it's affected by how much money we're going to be spending on pensions. So I think that I'm the one that realizes the most what we need to do with pensions, and I'm the one that's willing to tackle that. But I think at the same time, you know, having lived here, as I said earlier, I've seen this city grow up. And I've seen the things that work well, and I know what people want. They want a small town feel in the city, but at the same time, I think they also want a city that's a 21st century city. If you look at El Segundo, that's a third the size that we are, and some of the exciting things that they're doing over there. You know, we can do that in the city of Torrance as well. We need somebody that's out there being a leader. We need somebody that has a vision that people want to follow, and I think I have that vision. I think those are unique things that I have that maybe not everybody else does. So I'm really excited for the future of our city with the right leadership in place.
All right, great. Well, right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about the things that are coming up around town in the South Bay. Jackie, what's going on in the South Bay?
The South Bay by Jackie Weekend Guide is brought to you by Rock & Brews PCH. Rock & Brews PCH is proud to serve an extensive menu of casual American comfort food and over 100 craft beers in their family-friendly backstage beer garden at the beach. Now you can get all your favorite Rock & Brews menu items such as Asian spicy wings and the Maui Wowie pizza to go. Call in your order or stop by on the way home and it'll be ready in minutes. In addition, Rock & Brews is making party planning fun and easy with its new catering menu. Rock & Brews PCH is conveniently located at the crossroads of Pacific Coast Highway and Palos Verdes Boulevard and has plenty of on-site parking. For all the delicious details, visit the website at rockandbrews.com or call 310-378-4970. Okay, so what's going on this week? Oh, heads up, Joe. Birthday week has officially begun.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I celebrated with my Italian peeps yesterday, so I got another week full of fun.
Happy birthday, Jackie. Happy birthday.
Next week. Thank you.
Next week.
All right, speaking of Rock & Brews, Rock & Brews PCH is celebrating their first anniversary today. From 3 to 6 p.m., guests will enjoy $1 pints of select beers. Yes, that's right, $1 pints. So what are you waiting for? Head over there now. Grab a table. Rock & Brews PCH, as I said, is located at 6300 Pacific Coast Highway. Del Amo Fashion Center will be pampering and celebrating South Bay moms in style during Indulge, a stylish treat for moms. This evening of fashion, shopping, beauty, and fun is being held tonight, Thursday, May 8th, from 5 to 8 p.m. in Macy's Court near the new patio cafes. At Indulge, event attendees can do much more than just shop for spring style must-haves. Moms and their friends can experience exciting style consultations, beauty services, refreshments, plus special offers from retailers throughout the mall. There will be music, pampering stations, lipstick readings, food samples, and swag bags for the first 150 guests. For additional information, visit the website at www.simon.com or visit the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Del Amo Fashion Center. Women from the South Bay and beyond are invited to Live, Laugh, Learn at the inaugural South Bay Women's Conference on Friday, May 9th, organized by the South Bay Women's Association. This full-day event will welcome purpose-driven and service-minded women into a motivational environment of empowerment, respect, laughter, and learning, while simultaneously providing college scholarships to South Bay women in need. Attendees will experience inspiring and educational speakers in both general session and interactive breakout programs. The day will culminate with a high-energy networking reception, ensuring many lasting connections. The South Bay Conference for Women will be held from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Torrance Marriott South Bay. For up-to-date information and to purchase tickets, and I think there's like maybe two tickets left, visit www.southbaywomensconference.com. The Torrance Marriott is located at 3635 Fashion Way in Torrance. I'll be over there tomorrow. Fashionable Femmes will descend on Meadows Lawn at Terraneo Resort for South Bay Magazine's annual Girls Night Out 2014 on Friday, May 9th. The stylish evening kicks off with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres at 7 p.m., followed by a summer fashion show featuring the latest trends from local boutiques at 8 p.m. After getting an insider's look at the hottest fashions, you'll want to acquire a few seasonal wardrobe essentials at the boutique, an exclusive shopping experience which opens at 9. Tickets for the event are $150 per person. An opportunity drawing offers tickets for $20 each or get one bonus ticket for every 5 purchase. 100% 10% of proceeds from the opportunity drawing will benefit Walk with Sally. To purchase tickets for the opportunity, you can visit the website at Walk with Sally. And for additional information and ticket purchase, visit the website rsouthbay.com. Terranea Resort is located at 100 Terranea Way in Rancho Palos Verdes. Okay, this is a fun one that, Joe, you may enjoy.
Okay.
Uncorked, you know, the wine shop, Uncorked,
yes,
presents Gertler's Sausage and Beer Wine Tasting on Saturday, May 10th, from 4 to 7 p.m. in the parking lot. Food Network star Adam Gertler is launching Gertler's Wurst, his own gourmet sausage line. The event featuring features specially selected wines and beers from Strand Brewing and King Harbor Brewery. There will be 5 different types of sausage featured. Tickets are $25 and include the sausage and wine beer flight. Live musical entertainment will be provided by Andy Hill and Renee Safier. There's only so much room in that parking lot, and tickets are limited, so don't wait. For additional information and to purchase tickets, you can visit the website at Eventbrite. That link is on my site. Uncorked, the wine shop, is located at 302 Pier Avenue in Hermosa Beach. The Women's Club of Redondo Beach is proud to host the 7th annual Redondo Beach Firefighter Community Spaghetti Dinner on Saturday, May 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. Their goal is to raise $10,000 for the Firefighters Association, and they hope to raise additional funds for local children's charities and to help fire victims in our community. The event will coincide with the Redondo Beach Fire Department open house, which takes place from 10 in the morning till 3 p.m., and will culminate with the spaghetti dinner prepared and served by the Redondo Beach firemen at the Women's Club Historical Clubhouse located across the street from the fire station. A silent auction will offer a fabulous selection of items up for bid. Among them will be Disneyland tickets, local hotel stays, local dinner gift certificates, and a gift certificate for 4 to be taken on a sunset cruise aboard the Harbor Patrol fireboat, followed by dinner at the firehouse and a ride to Redondo Beach on the fire truck. Mm. Tickets to the community spaghetti dinner are $10 per person. Kids 8 and under get to eat for free. You can purchase tickets at the door or from any Redondo Beach Women's Member Club, Redondo Beach Women's Club member. The Women's Club of Redondo Beach is located at 400 South Broadway, and the fire station number 1 is located directly across the street at 401 South Broadway. All right. This is the last weekend to catch the madcap musical comedy, The Drowsy Chaperone, at the Norris Center for the Performing Arts. Winner of 5 Tony Awards, the toe-tapping trip back to the golden age of musicals is one of the funniest and most original shows in Broadway history. Critics have called the show the perfect Broadway musical. Performance times are 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays and 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets are $45 for adults and $25 for children ages 12 and under. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit www.norriscenter.com or call 310-544-0403. The Norris Theater is located at 27570 Norris Center Drive in Rolling Hills Estates. Free parking is available adjacent to the theater, and the facility is wheelchair accessible. Join the Redondo Beach Education Foundation for the most fun you can have and still call it a tax deduction at the annual Redondo Beach Education Foundation Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament on Wednesday, May 14th. This popular fundraising event takes place at the Blue Water Grill with cards flying at 5:30 p.m. If you reserve a seat in advance, the buy-in is $100. Tickets may be purchased the night of the event at the door for $120, and rebuys will be available. If you're not into poker, don't worry. There'll be blackjack available. For additional information and to reserve a seat, call 310-854-2004 or visit the website at www.rbef.org. That's Redondo Beach Education Foundation. As always, check the calendar links and things to do on my website, southbaybyjackie.com, for details on these and other events throughout the South Bay. And a couple of program notes. Tomorrow morning on the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, our guest will be Liz Griggs. Liz is the manager of Manhattan Village Mall, and she's going to explain to us how the Chamber can assist businesses when they have to make a presentation before the City Council. So listen live at 8 a.m. to call in with questions or comments. You can call in at 714-242-5288. Tune in each Friday for all the latest Chamber news and events. And the Weekend Guide, we have a new sponsor. The Weekend Guide is brought to you by British Choice. British Choice is a professional cleaning service operating out of El Segundo and serving the greater South Bay area since 1986. They work around your schedule, are extremely efficient, reasonably priced, and they go the extra mile to keep your home sparkling. For a free estimate, contact Jacqueline Fortune at 310-676-9053. British Choice is the right choice for all your cleaning needs. And one last note. Don't forget to vote for the South Bay Show for favorite local radio program in the Daily Breeze Best of Reader's Choice Awards.
Right.
You can go online and you can vote for us. Let's beat KNX this year.
That's fabulous. We can't wait. We're going to beat KNX.
I put the link up every place. KNX isn't local.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a South Bay show.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Can't compete. No.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what's going on this weekend.
All right. That's what's going on. A lot of stuff going on, huh, Tom?
Yeah, it really is. I'm amazed. There's not enough hours in the day to do all that stuff, but especially today, Rock and Brews is one of my favorite places to go.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Well, between 3 and 6, $1 pints.
Wow. Well, this is you know, we love these shows. We love this series where we talk to candidates for political office because the voters want to be better informed about the issues in their city, and they want to have that personal time instead of stopping you for an hour at the grocery store. Some people may not have that opportunity. They can listen to these discussions and feel that they've gotten a little bit closer to who Tom Brewer is, and we love having you. Thank you so much for joining us, Tom.
Oh, Joe, it's really been my pleasure. I love talking about my city. You know, I think part of the reason I spend so much time in the grocery store is because I talk as much as they do, because this is a great city, and I love it, and I like talking about it.
You want to tell us which grocery store you frequent, or will that just set you back?
Whoa.
No, actually, it's my second office is at the Ralph's Grocery Store on Calamior and Pacifico Highway. I'm there Sunday afternoon. As long as you want me there, I'm there.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
You know, that's
open forum at Ralph's.
No, you're actually promoting that, Tom.
You know, there's so many people that see me there. I think they know they can catch me there on a Sunday afternoon, so that's okay. I love doing it. It's nice hearing about what people have to think.
Right. Right.
Tom, we need to get all of your contact information. Give us website addresses, Facebook address, phone numbers, emails. Give us contact information so anybody that has any questions, they can get in touch with you.
That's great. Well, they can call me at 310-378-7077, or they can email me at tom@brewerformayor.com, or they can go on my website, brewerformayor.com, and see what I stand for, or I'm on Facebook, Tom Brewer for Torrance Mayor. So any of those ways you can get a hold of me, or just Google Tom Brewer and you'll find me.
Or stop by Ralph's on a Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
That works too, yeah.
There you go. That's great. Ralph's, the new meeting place. That's wonderful. We often, you know, talk, Tom, about how wonderful it is to live in the South Bay, and Torrance is such a bright future. And as you said, when one door closes, another door opens. I mean, the opportunities for that campus, the Toyota campus, is mind-boggling. Some of the speculations that could be done would, you know, obviously another auto manufacturer, that would be easier. But there are so many different things. There's lots and lots of companies in Northern California that are looking for more space, constantly looking for more space down further south in the South Bay. And I personally would love to see Google go in there, which is just came to me.
From your lips to God's ears.
Google, they are buying buildings, buying space in Santa Monica like no business, and there's not enough of it. They still don't have enough. They need consolidate.
Yeah, you know, that's true. There's so much stuff up in Northern California that could come down to Southern California. There's a lot of high-tech things up there that are looking to Pasadena, Santa Monica, and maybe
right.
Torrance to relocate.
Right. And these kinds of industries are the industries, literally the industries of the future, very light industries, but they have actually, you know, it's funny. Google might be ultimately a perfect fit. They have quite an auto component to what they do. They have these autonomous vehicles that they maintain and that they build and that they do research on. So they could use a lot of the quasi-industrial facilities on the Torrance campus, as well as they have a huge you know, employee base. It's not as big as Torrance's Toyota's footprint, but it's growing, and they could relocate a lot of those people and consolidate them from all over Southern California to one location, which would be probably good for them. So there you
well,
go.
I hope they're listening to this radio program.
I hope so too. I love that idea. It would be great for our industry to have an anchor facility, an anchor company, move down from you know, Sunnyvale or Silicon Valley to move down here and really cement the they call it Silicon Beach community down here. So that would be wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, as I said, and we really appreciate your time now. Is there anything else, Tom, that we've forgotten that you'd like to tell people?
Well, you know, this election on June 3rd is very important for the city of Torrance because not only do we have three people running for mayor, but you already heard that we had 16 people running for city council for four seats. It's been a long time since we had four seats that were open for the election. So this is a very important election. It's going to change the face of the city council dramatically for the next 4 years. And if we don't, you know, if we don't pay attention, it could change the direction our city goes for the next 4 to 8 years as well. So this is a critically important election for people to turn out and vote in. And, you know, I hope people don't sit home and just think it's going to be fine. I want people to get out and vote on June 3rd or cast their absentee ballot. They've already been in the mail, so they should have gotten them by now.
Right, and I think, Jackie, you did that, or you're in the process of doing
it. I'm going to do that, yeah, because I'm going to be out of the country during the election. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, I got something in the mail yesterday. I was just looking at it, because I've never done an absentee ballot before. So this will be a first for me.
Well, I hope we can talk about that maybe next week.
I'm not telling anybody who I'm voting
for. No, not necessarily who I'm voting for, but just the process to help other people understand the process. That might be interesting. Because a lot of people, I don't think I've ever filed an absentee ballot. I like election day. I like going to the polling place and feeling the excitement and so.
Yeah, I do too. But I'll be having a better time in Italy, so I'm gonna have to pass the show.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tom Brewer, mayor, candidate for mayor and sitting city council member. We loved having you. It was a joy, and what a great conversation. And the Torrance has a lot of decisions to make and some good candidates to choose from, and we're going to have more candidates, aren't we?
Yes, next week we're having the last of the three.
Yes, excellent.
Next Thursday we're having Bill Sutherland on. We had Pat Fiore on last week, Tom this week, Bill Sutherland. And you know, in previous elections, other cities, Manhattan Beach and Redondo, we've had candidates for the city council on, but there were so many this year that we just didn't have the time to do it, so we just went with the mayor's race.
Right. And so that's very exciting. Well, thank you very much, Tom Brewer, for joining us.
Well, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Jackie, for having me on, and you'll have one of the future mayors on in your show.
That's right. Guaranteed.
Yep, that's right.
Guaranteed. You're hearing one of the future mayors on one of these three shows. Absolutely. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. And again, join us next Thursday. And, of course, always on Fridays for Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.